We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit
mte.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better
since 1936.
This is WGNS Action. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers
since 1947.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
This morning we have guests in studio from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, and we'll be talking about the Shop with the Sheriff program and then also an event coming up that helps to raise funds for that, and that's going to be at Toots. We have in studio with us today Sergeant Cox and Truby this morning as well, both of them. And I guess starting off this morning, maybe tell the audience a little bit about what you do day in and day out.
You can start that, Truby.
So I'm an SRO at Stewartsville Elementary, and really no day's the same. It's arrival, and then we teach classes. We mentor and counsel with students. We just help where we're needed in the building.
I know you said no 2 days the same. Working with kids, teens, all of that, it's got to be interesting at times.
It's a blast. All their personalities, all of the things that they want to do, or the classes they want to learn, the attitudes that they have.
Wait, kids have attitudes?
I think so.
I had no idea.
But no, working with students though is super fun, because you get to know them better and better each day. You get to know their families, and this is kind of where it guides you to want to help, to want to be a part of their village.
Years and years ago, we didn't have SROs in schools. I mean, that was something that came along, I guess, around 94 or so?
92. The year I was born.
So you grew up with SROs, yeah, in your school. Looking back to when you first started this job and working in schools, what was the first thing that kind of woke you up to maybe how teens are possibly a little different than they are today than they were when you were in high school?
I've only been in an elementary school. I've worked at an alternative school. I worked the high school games and stuff like that. And realistically, they're no different than we were. They just have cameras on their phones so they get caught easier.
Sergeant Cox, you've probably seen that happen a lot of times as well. Kids get caught for stuff they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest change is when we were younger. Well, not this guy who was born in the 90s, but when we were younger, is we didn't have these cell phones and these social media apps. And when we went home from school, our parents told us to go outside and find a pond, find some water, and go play.
Yeah.
Get out of the house.
Go play in the road, kids.
Yes, go play. And that's just the world we live in now. And the changes that we see is these kids are just glued. Their phones are glued to their hands. They cannot go anywhere. And then if they forget their phones, they're distraught at school. They don't know what to do.
I mean, you can see a real difference.
Yes, you can. They can walk down the hallway and feel like they lost their best friend.
Yeah.
That takes their attitude from being happy and being grateful that they're there to my life stinks, it's going to be a horrible day. And then their attitude changes, and then they get a little angry sometimes. So you can see the change.
It's funny, on the days that I forget my phone at home and come into work, I'm actually happier. Like, thank goodness I left that thing at home.
Some days I want to throw mine out the window and hopefully somebody pick it up for me.
You know, I've said this before. I'm so glad we didn't have cell phones and social media when I was growing up in high school, because I would have ruined the rest of my life if I had social media when I was younger.
We used to have those pagers that when you got a page, you got 10 minutes to call home.
Yeah, yeah.
You get in trouble.
If the page said 911, you know it was something important, at least That's halfway
correct.
Important.
That is correct.
We could use a payphone to call. But yeah, things have changed a lot. And this time of year, I'm sure you're seeing more emotions out of kids. You're seeing more extremes because we have, you know, Christmas around the corner. Kids are ready to wrap up that first half of the school year. But what is it like this time of year?
It's, you know, being a supervisor, going to different schools and seeing attitudes. Right now for this week, their attitudes are, I cannot wait to get off a full week next week. Because next week is we get a full week off of school for Thanksgiving break. So the attitude now is good. These kids are ready to get out of school. And these SROs are ready to recharge their batteries and take a week off.
It's the kids and the adults. It's not just...
It is. It's the adults, the SROs, the teachers. We need this break to sit down with our own family, because we spend, as SROs, we spend more time with your children than we do our own right now. So it does help us out. After Thanksgiving, yes, it's where you see changes in kids, because some kids are happy Christmas is coming because they have this long list of Christmas things that they want, need, whatever it is. Then you have your kids that are still kind of, well, I want this, but I can't get this because we can't afford this.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard to sit there and look at one kid, the next kid, and figure out who's happy, who's not. But walking down the hallways, the kids that are talking about it a lot are the kids that we know they're excited. The kids that don't talk about Christmas is the kids that we look at as SROs and go, we want to help. We want to do something for that child, because that child should be happy. That child should want to wake up Christmas morning and feel like they are loved, and just because their parents can't afford it doesn't mean that they're bad people.
For parents in general, I mean, this is a tough, when you get to those teenage years, it's a tough time period to buy gifts anyway, because kids usually want something that's a lot more expensive when you're a teenager, and so it's probably hard on a lot of families.
Well, I mean, even a set of Legos cost anywhere from $30 to $400, so mm-hmm. I mean, it's nothing's cheap anymore. But a lot of those kids, going back to the students that are not as happy, it's school's also sometimes the only place they get a meal someplace. So even working with that, like that perspective of it, is like a hard thing for us to watch, because as SROs, we do think, and even teachers, like the, well, not even teachers, teachers and us both want to see a kid happy, and food shouldn't be a problem in a child's life.
You know, you hear those stories about kids who, you know, when they come to school, that's kind of like almost a vacation for them from their household, because their household in some cases is like a living hell.
It is. And I'm going to get back, and I don't want to jump, but, you know, I had a situation last week actually that, you know, when you go to these schools and these kids are getting these PlayStations and these Nintendo Switches and these companies, I mean, you're talking about $500, $600, $700 for these PlayStation now. And these kids that know that these parents that can't afford that stuff, these kids want it because they want to fit in.
Yeah.
And they don't want to be bullied because they don't have the best and upcoming thing. And that's what hurts worse as an SRO, seeing that this kid really wants that. And then when you talk to the child, well, because all my friends have one and I don't. And it breaks you, because you start trying to talk to these children about the difference between want and needs, but it's hard as a child, and you know that all your friends have these PlayStation, Nintendo Switches, but you don't have one because your parents can't afford it. And what do you do? And that's the hardest thing that we struggle with as SROs, is we would love to give everybody one, but we can't. So what else can we do? We have to reach out to the community. That's where we're at with that.
I saw a video on social media. I don't remember if it was last year, if it was this year, but it was at Laverne High School, where some of the kids came together in a classroom and they bought this other student a new pair of shoes, an outfit, and they were like, you know, brand new Nikes of some kind. Do you see that kind of stuff often? Or
and I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of, you see more, a majority of negative things with law enforcement.
Yeah.
They show, you know, social media puts out bad things police do. The news and media, they never show all the great things.
Yeah.
And to answer your question, that happens more than you know. I've been around the SRO division almost 20 years. And if I sat here and told you everything I've done for a child that I saw out of my own pocket, that I've reached out to my family, and we've adopted a family out of my pocket and my family's pocket to make sure a kid, we do it all the time, not just Christmas. I've bought shoes. I've bought sporting stuff. I bought gloves and baseball bats. In 20 years, I've spent a lot of money out of my pocket because I want these kids to feel like they do care and people are out there to help them. So that happens a lot.
You know, while kids may be a little crazy towards their cell phones mm-hmm. these days, it seems like kids in general are a little more emotional in this day and age, or they're better at understanding emotions today than they were maybe 10 or 15 years ago. And I don't know what the reason for that is, but you do see that At least I've seen that in a lot of cases.
I mean, with teenagers, I believe, in my opinion, that it's all about coping. They're afraid to tell their parents. They're afraid to talk about it because they don't want people to have an opinion of that they're this type. And I think it's an embarrassment. Back when I was younger, we all knew.
Yeah.
And then when I was a kid, I stuck up for those kids that had it, problems, that talked about it. Nobody bothered them because they knew they had people that were there together, and we included everybody. Now you're getting to these high schools and you get a lot of exclusion. These kids that have issues, they don't include them in anything, so that does nothing but hurt that child. And
you can see it.
You can see it. And I think a problem is with those kids, they don't know how to communicate to ask for help because they feel embarrassed. It's sad.
They close up instead.
And they go silent. They go quiet. And people say, well, that kid never talks. Well, did you take an opportunity to go say hi and introduce yourself? No, because he don't talk. Well, try. So when I was SRO at a school, I would encourage all my athletes and all that, go meet new people. Meet new people. You never know in 10 years they may be your best friend. They may be your boss.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to understand. If you're mean now, God, can you imagine going to interview for a job and that person sitting across that desk? That person is going to remember everything you've done. So we have to turn everything around and look at ourselves and go, what kind of person do I want to be? Let's be better.
Well, I guess sometimes, and you see this, in the real world, sometimes those who go through the very largest of struggles as teenagers, as kids, they become the CEOs, the leaders, the pastors, all of that stuff. And I'm sure you're going to see that. Maybe you've already seen that in some cases.
You will. Mm-hmm. You will. And who knows? One of these kids may be the next president or the next mayor or the next. We never know. So that's the hardest thing as an SRO. We've got 2,000 kids at some school. I mean, some schools have 2,400. I mean, you have to do your best to get to know every kid in that school.
Yeah.
It's hard. You can't, as an SRO.
The kids should at least know who you are.
Yeah.
Like, that's the, you should be out and about in the school building and just knowing that they have some place to run to, which I'm thankful to be at a school where I feel like our students have a huge support system with the teachers care, the counselors care, admin cares. And so, I feel like the climate at the majority of our schools is great when it comes to the working relationships with the teachers and the students. Because it is a relationship that the kids have to buy into and that the staff have to buy into, to where we build a good community so that at least our community in Rutherford County can be growing or progressing.
Have either one of y'all been, maybe it's happened to you, maybe you've been with another SRO, it's happened to them, to where one of the students that you worked with throughout the years, he or she graduated, and then it kind of came full circle, came back to you and said, I don't know if you remember this or not, but 5-10 years ago, you helped me cope with fill in the blank there. And then they told you, I'm better for it today.
I've had numerous, and I've been invited to weddings.
Ah, cool.
And that I've dealt with, now the husband, let's say that, who was in trouble a lot at school. And he knew that every time he got in trouble, he came to me. And to kind of, easier for him now to sit back and look. But back then it was, it was kind of more of telling him, we're all human. I'm an adult. I've got 2 children and I still fall on my face every day.
Yeah.
I failed at something. So telling these kids, it's okay to fall down. It's okay to make a mistake. It's part of life. It's what you do tomorrow is what's going to dictate your future. You want these kids to fall and you need to teach them how to get back up and keep going forward and never look back. So yeah, I have that all the time. I've got kids in when I left my last school and got promoted, I had kids at my school that they're like, hey, you was my mom and dad's SRO. So the first thought, I'm like, God, I'm getting old.
You're that old?
I'm getting old. Number two, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember your mom and dad. They were always in trouble. They were in my office quite a bit. And then watching them kind of go through kindergarten, first grade, second grade before I left, I'm like, yeah, now I can see why they're your parents. But guess what? They never got in trouble at school. because when I talked to the parents, they were like, yeah, we told our kids, don't be like mom and daddy. Mom and daddy, you be better. And that's what I want to see. I want to see these parents that see that. But yeah, I get a lot of them. I get a lot of thank you letters, graduation. I wouldn't have graduated without you back in middle school.
Yeah.
I wanted to quit. You kept me pushing. So, I mean, escrows get that all the time.
So have you seen firsthand some chains broken in families?
More than what I want to sit and talk. Yeah, but we do. We see some chains being kind of broken in half, and trying to guide everyone. That's why we turn into counselors. And as an SRO, our number one job is to keep these kids and these faculty members safe in the school. But not only that, we're teachers, we're counselors. And that's where the counseling bit comes in, is we're there to counsel these kids and help them. And even sometimes we get parents calling us going, well, am I struggling here? What do we do? And we're counseling the parents. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we see quite a bit of that, where the kids are breaking because of that.
Elementary age kids versus high school kids. With elementary kids, you've got a lot of, you know, younger parents who are, this is their first time to be a parent. So they may have a totally different set of issues they're working towards versus high school parents. But what are you seeing as far as some of the troubles go among the parents of kids of elementary students?
So it's more the first time parents. It's more of the how to guide, or how to, my kids learning this, which, I mean, I have an elementary age child, and it's how to navigate societal norms, but also how to push against things that are societal norms. And so with the parents, it's helping them. We're all navigating it together. Every day something's changing. And so every day is a new adventure. And so it goes back to the climate and the community that you put in that building, whether the parents feel comfortable coming to your school to ask for help, to, hey, are there programs for this? Are there programs for that? And that goes back to being seen and letting the parents see that there is a community they can reach out to.
As an SRO, you're probably able to see or get an idea of maybe what's going on in the household of this child before they're able to fully realize, you know, well, my mom, my dad may have an addiction to drugs or alcohol. But do you get a glimpse of that day in and day out?
I mean, it's not day in and day out. It's situational. Not every day is like catastrophic as far as parents are slung out, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. It's more situational. And that goes back to having a good counseling staff, a good group of teachers that say, hey, this student came in and is struggling with this. And then, so, I mean, realistically, it is a group effort, and the SROs are fantastic whenever they get into it. But it, a lot of the time, starts with the teacher who is with their student every day, and then with the staff backing them. But it's not an everyday occurrence. I can only say it from one building.
Yeah.
But every day would be a stretch.
And I'll add in there, I think a lot of what we tell these SROs is, this is why we encourage them to teach classes.
Yeah.
Because when you get in the elementary schools, we teach, you know, we teach a program every year to kindergarten and second grade, talk about diversity, good touch, bad touch, good drugs, bad drugs, to these little ones. And we kind of take it down to what we tell them, give them examples, and we read a book, and they color. We have a whole curriculum that we teach. That is nothing but teaching them the difference between a good drug and a bad drug, building that rapport and that trust and that safety net with those children. It allows children to start trusting in us. And you'll be surprised on how many times we teach a class, and then within 4 years, well, y'all taught us this back when I was in second grade, and now I'm seeing this at home. I saw my mom and dad, or I saw my brother, sister, and I see things I wanted to tell you because it's concerning. That is how we grow and we build that rapport with those kids, because they trust us.
Yeah.
And that's the goal, is to get them to know whatever you tell us, it's between us, and we're going to keep you safe. I promise you. Our job is to keep you safe and keep you learning, but we're here to protect them.
And when you look at middle school and high school kids, they're able to better recognize, you know, this is what's happening in my house and it shouldn't be.
They know a little bit more because, again, these cell phones tied to their hips and their hands, all these social media, these TikToks, the Snapchats, whatever, they talk about it. And some of these kids know more than some other kids. And then they start talking about it. And then these kids come home and say, hey, I heard this word, Mom. What does this mean, or Dad? And that's what opens up the communication. That's why it's very important for parents to understand that we have to talk to our kids. At dinner time, when you sit at a table, sometimes you have to get deep conversations with your child, because they're going to find out what things are in school. Is it better to learn from a different kid at school, or is it better to learn from your parent? And that's why I'm trying to encourage these parents, when I see them in the community, talk to your kids. I get phone calls, hey, issues with this? Talk to them, because that's the best way to understand what's going through their head.
We had a detective on a couple of weeks back, and they were talking about how prevalent different types of sexual abuse, rape, things like that are. And it starts online. It starts on your kid's favorite social media app. How prevalent is that in Rutherford County and in the local schools? And how often are you coming across that to where you're able to figure out and let this kid know, all right, look, the person you're talking to is not really 15.
In my group I supervise, I don't come across it a lot, which is good. Is it out there? Yes. I'm sure it's out there more than we know. We just haven't broke that, like you said, we haven't broke that chain to get that connection for them to open up what's going on. And this is a good way to give a shout out to one of our SROs. SRO Higgins, who's the SRO at Walter Hill, was an SRO of the month that was on Facebook with the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department. She taught a class with her kids about good touch, bad touch.
Yeah.
And after teaching, that kid finally heard it and realized it and felt safe. So she approached the school and said she was sexually abused by somebody. And the court system said if it wasn't for the SRO teaching that class, we'd never know what would be going on still. So that's why it's very, and it goes down to these SROs teaching these kids about things that they may not see, and they think, this person told me if I ever tell somebody, they're going to do this to me. No, it's our job to make sure these kids are safe and secure and feel like they matter, because those kids feel like I have to accept it because this is what I'm told.
When you're able to step in, once you realize something negative is going on in that child's life, and you're able to step in and do something about it, what does that feel like? I mean, the outcome of knowing you put an end to whatever may have been going on, but you put an end to it.
Well, number one, it makes you mad.
Yeah.
And you have as an SRO with kids, it makes you furious. You want to go out and yell in the sky. But then at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you feel good that you did something finally. But then you go back and you go, man, I wish I'd have knew this years ago, because I would have stopped it. So it's to feel that, it's a mix of emotions. You get like four different emotions in your brain and your heart at one time. Not a good feeling, but this is our job. This is what we do. And we can't solve every problem before it happens. It's our job to listen, to watch, to observe, to grow this trust, to grow this friendship. I say the rapport with these kids, for them to trust us, to talk to us. And then it's our job to fix that problem.
Some of the many things you come across in a school system, the fourth largest in the state, would be death. And, you know, that could be from an auto accident, or it could be by suicide. I know they're tough to experience. I know they're tough for parents, obviously, but they're also tough for the other students, and they're tough on the SROs and the teachers. How prevalent are things like suicide, or how often do you learn about a child who may have died in an auto accident?
Well, one is too many. So if I said that, yeah, we've had, I mean, if I said that we had two this year, that's too many. But what we have, you know, like Truby said, is we have a group with the Rutherford County Schools and the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department. The sheriff, everybody at the Sheriff's Department supports the SRO division. With us working together, we have enough resources and counselors that we take when something extravagant like that happens. We make sure there's enough counselors for these kids that are going through it. We're there to listen. We're there to try to do the best we can. We can't solve every problem. If I could solve everybody's problems, I wouldn't be sitting here today. But we do the best we can to make sure that these kids know that there's people to talk to. Don't be afraid to talk to somebody. If you have a loss of friend or having issues at home or whatever the outcome is, the hardest part in life is walking to somebody, sitting down, and talk. The hardest thing to do is talk about it. But once you do, once you start opening your mouth and you talk about your issues, what you're struggling with in life, whether it's mental, whatever it is, it feels like you, as a child and as a teenager, when you walk in that office, you really walk with your shoulders held higher because you get a lot of weight off your shoulders because you're not holding it in.
Working at the schools, have there been certain school years where maybe there was a suicide within that school, but yet you were able to see where that child's death, it changed the student body for the remainder of that year and maybe for years to come?
I mean, I'm sure it does. I'm sure there's still grieving going on. I hate to sit here and talk about a child taking their life. I don't, because it touches. If you're an SRO and you sit in these chairs and you're being interviewed, it does hurt a little bit. And as I'm sitting here thinking, I've seen quite a bit in 20 years, and it's not fun to even put in your brain and start remembering things like that. But guess what? It's you know.
when we go to, so I always say when I go to work, I leave my house with one kid, but when I get to work, I have all of those kids I see as my own. I'm going to protect them like my own. I'm going to work with them like they're my own because they're my responsibility to keep them safe and to take care of them. So when we start talking about losses of one of them, it's
you lose your own kid.
It's one of your own.
Mm-hmm.
And so to work with that is like, that would be a super hard thing to deal with, but that's also the reason why, especially us two, we work so hard to make sure that we can do fundraisers to make sure we're raising enough money with the community's help to allow us to help the students that we can help. And that's like with the Toots fund, or with like the Toots fundraiser, which that's the, what day is that?
Tuesday, December 2nd.
Yeah, the 2nd of December, and pushing into the fundraising aspect, we try to take elementary students shopping. Well, not we try, we do. And we do that on the 6th, and we get to just take care of those students. We get to let their SRO get a better connection with a student who needs help, who we work with the counselors and the staff to pick a student and try to take care of them during the Christmas holidays. Because I'm sure at one point we've all been there where something wasn't under the tree.
One of the reasons why I bring all that up is because we're at that time of year where those things do happen more than anybody would like to see. But I don't know that the general public out there listening, especially those who their kids may have already graduated high school, graduated college even, and they don't remember what it was like when their kids were in high school exactly. They don't remember how tough it is on kids day in and day out.
I think that the issue when you're running on there is different. It's different. And I look back to when I graduated, it's totally different nowadays. And yes, I got to be the SRO at the high school I graduated from.
Oh, wow.
I say this easy. About 7 years after I graduated, I was the SRO at that school. And I'm going to tell you what, that seven-year span when I became SRO to graduating, yeah, it was different then. And it's only getting, I'm not saying worse, but life is changing back even then. So, you know, the one thing the communities know is we want these high school kids to remember the good things, remember the bad things, and learn from them. But it all should be a good experience. And that's the key, is we want these high school kids to graduate going, man, that was the best 4 years of my life.
Yeah.
Now let's take the next step, and now let's worry about the future.
In hearing everything that we talked about this morning, if somebody listening wants to help out with the Shop with the Sheriff program. If they want to donate enough money to expand the program and bring in more kids than ever before, how can they do that?
Absolutely. So what we do at the Sheriff's Department, SRO Division, we have three big fundraisers a year. We do a golf tournament to raise money for their special needs kids, which just occurred a couple months ago. And then we have this Shop of the Sheriff event. The Shop of the Sheriff is held December 6th, Saturday morning, December 6th, which we get the SROs at the elementary schools and to get with their counselors, try to find a student, take them shopping, and they only get to shop with the SRO. It is that child and the SRO. Two of them, they go and they just get to run through Walmart and just feel like they're on top of the world. That is on December 6th. If you want to help donate to that cause, we have a big event coming up on December 2nd. It's a Tuesday night from 5 to 8 at Toots. I'm talking about all the Toots locations in Murfreesboro. There's three. There's one on Franklin Road, Broad Street, and Church Street. From 5 to 8, you can go to any location. There will be SROs there in uniform, walking around trying to collect donations to fund this Shop of the Sheriff event. If you can't, and I tell all these parents at schools that go eat dinner.
Yeah.
That's a great time for you to take your family, eat dinner, talk about things. As you got officers there collecting money, and it's a good way for your children to see what the money's going to. I did it with my kids. Now they're grown. Well, one of them's grown. I used to take them every year, and it got to the point where my oldest one, before she left, she would go in her safe and pull out a $20 bill out of her own money. And I'm like, what are you doing? I want to give this because the kid may need it more than I need it. That's what it's for. Is as a parent, you look at it and go, man, $20, man, that seemed a lot. But when you add that up, that's a lot, and that can help one family. If you cannot go to that event on that day, you can always reach out to your child's SRO. You can also email me, and I'll give you my email address. It's dcox@rcsotn.org. You can email me, and I'll get information from you and figure out how to collect the money for that.
I know we're already out of time, but if anybody listening, if they don't want to go eat, if they just want to drop off a check or something like that, they could, I guess, drop it off at any of those Toots restaurants on December 2nd or stop by the sheriff's office and drop off a check there for the Shop with the Sheriff program.
That's right. And how much time we have left?
Like no seconds.
No seconds. We're good. We're good.
But what were you going to add?
I was just going to add the pickleball tournament that's coming up in January 17th. This is a fundraiser that I started 5 years ago, and this money is going to go to middle and high school students and then emergencies for back to school shopping. And you can email the same email if you want more information, and he'll get you to me.
And again, we've been talking with the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, SROs, and we're out of time. But if you would like to drop off a check for that Shop of the Sheriff program, the event is at all the Murfreesboro Toots, December 2nd, 5 to 8, or just stop by the Sheriff's Office or by Toots and drop off a donation.
Murfreesboro, this is Amanda from Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street. If you prefer puffy cheeks and cute little whiskers, come check out all of our pocket pets such as hamsters, gerbils, mice, and rats. It's here at Animal City. We have a great small animal selection downstairs and all of the supplies to keep them healthy and happy. This is Amanda from Animal City. We are so proud to be Murfreesboro's pet destination for 35 years. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street, family owned and operated.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you. That's RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle Right, it's all on you. Don't be trashy, recycle classy, Recycle Right, Tennessee.
Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle Right Tennessee.
Woke radical liberals are screwing up this country, but Senator Bill Hagerty is fighting back. He backed one big, beautiful tax cut for working families, ending Social Security taxes for nearly all seniors, and taxes on tips and overtime gone. So call Senator Bill Hagerty at 202-224-4944. And thank him for backing working family tax cuts and putting America first. Paid for by American Prosperity Alliance.
Hi, my name is Diane Davenport. There are many reasons why I love Adams Place. People are so friendly. You're never in the hallways but what you meet someone who says, "Hi, how are you?" Everyone is very warm and welcoming. It's very nice. Adams Place, it is a wonderful place to live.
This is Terry Deal. Come tour Adams Place and discover living a dream in your senior years. Adams Place, on Memorial across from Walmart. Call us at 615-904-9111.